Welcome to Wonceable, Hypable's Once Upon a Time podcast. Tonight, we're going to discuss Save Henry, the latest episode that just aired. I'm Jen, and I'm joined by Karen, Kristen, and Laura. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
All right, so let's get right down to it. This episode was kind of a pivotal episode. So what did you guys think about the whole thing? Like, what is your initial reaction now that we've just finished watching?
I generally liked it, although part of me at the end was like, oh, really? I just really wanted them to fix it. I'm not so sure that I like the possessed Henry storyline.
Yeah, I don't know. Overall, I actually really didn't like this episode. It was kind of boring to me, and I feel like we knew where it was going to end up. And until it got there, it was just kind of like, all right, get to it already. Nothing really seemed all that scary or anything like that. There wasn't a lot of tension or suspense. And the thing at the end was kind of a cool twist. I mean, I won't say that I didn't see it coming because I had a feeling something like that was going to happen. But I felt the same way as you, Laura. I was like, I just want this to be over with and fixed and done. And yeah, I'm not a big fan of the possessed Henry storyline either.
Yeah, I was also kind of underwhelmed. It was a fine episode, and I liked the flashback stuff with Regina meeting Henry and like getting Henry. Like, that was cool. But all the stuff on Neverland just kind of seemed lacking. Of something. I'm not really sure what, but and as far as the twist at the end, take it or leave it. We'll see how it goes next week. I mean, it should be interesting to see the body switch thing. Unfold.
Was there really even a twist? I mean, I didn't even feel like it was shocking at that point. Do you know what I mean? I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Like, I don't know. So it wasn't awesome, actually. I was not as impressed with this episode as I was with the prior one. So I guess it's going to depend on next week's episode to see kind of what they're going to do with it all, how it's going to all pan out. Because I didn't mean that. anyway. To see how it's all going to work out in the end, because I don't know. I wasn't overly enthusiastic about this episode. I felt it, like you guys said, it was a little bit boring. I think it's because every episode up until this point has been so like action packed and had so many things in it that you just sort of like, oh my God, that happened. Oh my God, this is real. Like, this one felt a little less compared to all of that, I think. For being the whole Save Henry episode, it didn't feel as strongly built, maybe, is what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I have a feeling maybe that has to do with the fact that Pan wasn't that prominent in this episode. He was in the beginning, and then they met him at the tree, and then he was at the end. But as far as being, like, the bad guy that they're supposed to save Henry's heart from, he really didn't feature in the episode all that much.
Yeah, which is going to be super... Like, that'll be bad if, like, we get back to storybook. We're like, oh, but Pan's not in it. It's not as good. That'll be an issue. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they have to find a way to bring in the other elements back to the story that we've loved all along. Because the people are all still there. We just have to find a way to work them in and make it work. I don't know. So we'll see what next week brings. Hopefully it'll be a little bit more exciting. And we will be back in Storybrooke. Maybe there'll be like a showdown between Tink and the Blue Fairy. That'd be kind of fun. So did you guys have some favorite quotes from this episode? I'll be honest, I didn't. There wasn't a lot that I thought was like, oh my God, that's so funny. Or, oh, that's so touching. I really just didn't have it in me. What about you guys?
I did really like the one when they're doing the flashback, and it just, maybe because I'm a mom, it appealed to me. There are those moms out there that their child is perfect, and their child has to be perfect, and if their child isn't perfect, there's absolutely something, you know, like, and Regina was just so totally one of those annoying moms, and at the height of her being annoying, she goes to Dr. Whale, I paid for this, and he goes, actually, your insurance did. It was just... I really liked it because it was just a really good comeback for the annoying, hyper-possessed mom. So I don't know if it would appeal to everyone, but that one appealed to me.
My favorite one was from Rumple, the old Rumple in the flashback. He was, just as good as he usually is. And it was when he was like singing to Regina and he was like, "You shall see, you will come to me. There is more you want." Oh, and I just started laughing so hard. I miss that side of him.
The golden flaky side, you mean? No, I
Yeah.
agree. Those he did have that early moment that was pretty entertaining and kind of sets up the whole episode and the flashbacks that we see and stuff. So that was good.
Yeah,
Kristen, do
I
you
have
have
to say,
anything?
I didn't really have a favorite quote. I'm kind of with you, Jen. There wasn't really anything that stood out to me, but at the end, when Emma's like, "Let's get out of here," and Hook just looks at her and goes, "Of course, m'lady." It's just like, oh my God, you're precious. Like, just adorable.
Oh boy. That's going to be an interesting it'll be interesting to see them back in Storybrooke with him because it's not a place where he really made friends. So,
Yeah,
how do you
should
now
be
explain
interesting.
that the pirate's your friend, maybe slash love interest. I'm just throwing it out there. Like that'll be it'll be interesting to see how that one plays out, I think. But yes, he was charming as always as Hook. I think the one thing that I did find funny was when Regina was trying to heal Henry, and Emma says, "I know how you feel," and Regina's like, "No, you have your family, you have your parents, you have." She points to they him and the pirate, and like so, or the pining pirate, I think she called him. So I thought that was kind of a moment that was somewhat entertaining, but that was about it. So let's start off with all of the flashbacks, because this is really the first time we see how Regina kind of forgot who she was and what her troubles were, and how Henry came to be a part of her life. And there are some questions I have about that. Like, how is it Regina can leave Storybrooke? How is it that Gold can know that there's a baby available outside of Storybrooke? So I don't know if those questions were ever actually answered or if they will be, but those are the things that I find interesting from this episode. So we know that Regina wants a child because she's lonely, and the vengeance isn't always, or revenge isn't always what it's cracked up to be. So she goes and asks Gold to help her find a baby. And somehow he finds a baby in Boston. So what did you guys think of the whole scenario? How he finds this random baby that nobody wanted, and oh, well, it can be Regina's now, and Regina can leave to go to Boston to get the baby. What did you guys think about that whole scenario?
I figured he still had some, I don't know, limited means of magic or just something residually. Because I go back to like the first season, and there are moments when you feel like he knows more than he says, and like so, I don't know. Even if it's not fully functional magic, like he has a glimmer of something. So I just figured he did like some sort of spell, or I don't know. There was something that kind of honed him into the fact of, he wanted like the perfect baby for Regina, not per se knowing right away whose it was going to be. I don't think he knew that initially, but I am curious how they worked it all out.
Yeah, I have a feeling that it was built into the curse somehow because I genuinely don't think that Rumple had his memories, but I have a feeling that somehow something sort of guided him to that particular baby, and I think that was sort of built into the curse to begin with because we know that Rumple was exactly where he wanted to be.
I just couldn't help but wonder how Regina is asking him for help, and like, even if he doesn't have his memories or doesn't remember, like he's still Rumple. Like, the personality isn't gonna entirely change. It's just like Snow stayed very much like Snow, even though she was Mary Margaret. So it makes me wonder why she didn't think that he would try and do something to get something out of it. Like, he's still Rumple, so that bugged me a little bit that she didn't seem to worry about that. She just figured he would find her a child, any child.
Yeah, did he ask her for a favor in return?
Not that I remember.
No, I don't think
Yeah.
he did.
Because
Which is
that seems
strange.
weird. Yeah.
So maybe some part of him knew that this child would be something, later on. I don't know. It is very, very strange. The whole scenario is just strange. Like there are parts of it that, because I don't think Rumple had his memories. Like I think we've discussed this before, and we've agreed that in the very beginning he didn't have his memories, that Regina was the only one who knew. So I don't know how it all worked out that he found Henry of all people to give to Regina, unless he had it somehow built into the curse, which she later accuses him of. I don't know. So what another interesting thing that came out of this was that you have baby Henry is not happy with Regina. Like it's like even as a baby, he senses that she's the opposite of everything his family is meant to be, and he cries the entire time. So Granny suggests telling him stories. So we see Regina starting to tell stories to baby Henry with Once Upon a Time, which I think is hysterical and a lot of like I just found that so amusing. What did you guys think about that whole scenario?
Yeah, it made me laugh.
Yeah, it was just like, oh, if you only knew what you started.
Right? Like, oh, these stories will be the bane of your existence in about 10 years.
Which reminds me, like, what the heck ever happened to that book? Is that book, like, what happened to Henry's fairy tale book?
It's in Storybrooke. It got left behind. He didn't have it on him when he was taken, I don't think.
Okay. I'm just wondering if that'll ever come back into the plot in any manner ever again.
We still don't know who wrote it.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So I think at some point it all comes down to the book, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise it is. It's kind of like a dropped plot point. I'm just sort of curious.
Yeah. So after his obsession, so clearly we may have an idea of where his obsession from fairy tales came from, with Regina's constantly telling him Once Upon a Time stories. Of course, most of them seem to be about her, so I'm not sure if that's good or bad. But then we find out Regina's very concerned that Henry's crying is a medical condition, and therefore she needs to know the identity of his real parents, especially the mother. So she gets, oh gosh, I'm gonna forget his name, the magic mirror.
Sydney Glass.
Thank you. I'm
You're
like,
welcome.
I the his name was like on the tip of my tongue.
Yes,
She
Sydney,
gets,
who's too busy on Revolution to make a personal appearance, so he just get his
he,
voice.
yeah. He's a busy, busy man.
Yeah.
So Sydney, she gets him to find out who the mother is. So he kind of tracks back, and what they discover about the mother isn't necessarily a name, but they discover that 18 years prior, she was abandoned by her parents in the middle of the woods as an infant on that night. So what happens is Regina immediately knows that it's the savior, that it's the child that was Snowin' Charmings that was sent off, and she is not happy. So she goes after Rumple, who doesn't really know what Regina is talking about as she screams at him about the situation. Again, I find it kind of amusing that she's yelling at him even though he has no idea what he's done or why it's wrong. But it's interesting that she discovered that Emma, early on, she discovers that Henry's true mother is the savior. Because I didn't think she knew that early on, the connection that was actually there with Henry.
Yeah, I didn't, or, see, I didn't know that she would actually believe the whole savior thing. Like, I don't know that she, maybe she did believe that. I don't know. I mean, I wonder, I mean, to me, I felt like she would be more upset of, like, oh my God, this is, Snow White's grandson. The last thing I want is this. Like, didn't know if she really believed the whole savior thing, or at that point in time. Like, to me, the savior thing was later on. I don't know.
I don't know if it was like this the savior thing or whatnot, but I liked that it kind of tinges that whole first season now, like thinking about her wanting Emma out of the picture, not just because she's Henry's mother, but she knows that Emma has connections to the Enchanted Forest. So it kind of like if you think back to all of that tension and all of the plotting and scheming she did to get Emma out of Storybrooke, it makes a little even more sense now.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. That's a good point. Although it also makes you wonder, like, how much of the potion made her, I mean, it made
Well,
her forget certain things.
right.
So did the potion sort of make her forget some of what she knew? I'm not
Well,
sure.
that
True.
was my thing because I was like, doesn't she forget who Emma really is? Doesn't she forget that she's the savior at first because the potion erases that fear? Because that's a fear and a worry for Regina.
Right. So then the potion should have. Like, she should not be able to. Yeah, you're right.
That was my take on that. Yeah, that was kind of my take on all of that. That she didn't. That potion erased what she knew of Emma being his real mother and what she was.
So then that also made sense when August came back to town, too, and she didn't quite know who August was either. That would cover that also, because that would be a fear with him, too. Okay, that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. That does make a lot of sense.
Yeah, this whole backstory was a little bit confusing because we already have all these, like, predetermined information that we've learned over two seasons that now seems to all be disrupted. So I have a hard time wrapping my head around how it all works itself out because it's so different from what we already learned.
What is it though? Because this was my thing with the flashback. I feel like we already knew all of this information. I mean, maybe not like the exact details. Obviously, we haven't seen it before, but we knew that Rumpel got her the baby, and we knew that, you know, somehow she knew who Henry's mother was and the fact that she had been in jail and that sort of thing. And I feel like this didn't really give us any new information. And so that's why the flashback, and I think this is part of the reason why I didn't really enjoy the episode, I didn't really care about the flashback because I felt like it wasn't giving us anything interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like its point in the end was going to be, when it came to the present, the idea is that Regina had no regrets, ergo she could break out of that tree. But it just, I don't know that it had the desired build it really wanted it to do.
Yeah, because that one line she had when she was at the tree with, you know, I have no regrets because it brought me to my son, like, that's all she needed to say. We didn't need the whole flashback to understand that. We know what kind of connection she has with her son already.
Right, but like, here's what also bothered me too, to a certain degree. I feel like Regina has regrets. Like she's been a changed character. I guess that's why I was having a hard time with this. I feel like she did sort of regret some of the things that she, like, in the past two seasons at least, that she had done to Henry. I felt like she sort of regretted losing her mother so quickly. Like, I started to feel like Regina was regretful of the path her life had taken. So I had a hard time swallowing that Regina had no regrets whatsoever, like, attached to that tree. That was bugging me.
Yeah, I have to say that bothered me a little bit. I could see if maybe Snow was the one with no regrets, because, like, everything she's done has gotten her to this point, too. You know,
right.
Like, she's done a lot less wrong to her loved ones than Regina. So, like, if Snow had been the one to not have any regrets and to break free and to break them all out, that I could have bought that. But I also found it really strange that Regina was the one who had no regrets.
Yeah, it just goes to, like, it just goes back to this episode was confusing to me, I guess. Like, about the regrets, about how she could leave Storybrooke, about all of it. Like, I didn't get this episode all that much. Then the other really interesting thing to come out of the flashbacks is that Henry was set to be adopted by another couple, and that couple just happened to be the Darling brothers. So they actually were ready to take Henry when he was a baby, which was a little shocking to me that they had found him so early on.
So here's what I want to know, because this is what's going to, I think, set different shippers crazy. Were they pretending to be like a gay couple adopting this baby?
that's my first thought.
Like, I just, and that's totally fine. I mean, I have no problem, like, with two guys wanting to adopt a baby, like, no problem. But I was like, please tell me that was not the one shout out to the gay community. I was just like, what? You know, I was like, okay. I just was like, really? If that was the moment you were taking to go down the path, that was not the moment to go down that path. That could have been done so much better. So I'm not quite sure what that was all about.
Yeah, it was kind of, again, it was this weird kind of throwaway thing that didn't, I mean, great, we know that they had located Henry early on, but then how come they didn't follow him to Storybrooke? Do you know, like, there's so many things that are just weird to me that don't coincide with what we know of the world that's already been built.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like, yes, the weird emo wannabe hipster looking English brothers were adopting a baby. Like, it was just so
And mind you,
weird.
That was 12 years ago.
Yes,
so.
Yes, like two,
in 2001, Boston. We had hipsters. They were way ahead of their time.
Yeah, it just, and they did take great pains to make everybody else look younger, if you notice too. Like, all the gray was gone from Mr. Gold's hair. Regina had a new hairstyle. And I was just like, what? What are we doing? Like, it just didn't make sense. Not that once upon a time needs to make sense, but still, it didn't make sense.
Right. It just, there was an issue with the continuity of the story, I think, that we already have. So I don't know.
Well, I think just to answer one of your questions, I think that maybe, you know, they didn't know who had adopted Henry to begin with, so I don't think they necessarily would have been able to follow him back to Storybrooke because they wouldn't have known that's where he went to begin with, right?
Oh, that's a good point, yes.
But how did they even know he was there to begin
right.
with?
Or was he the couple that it fell through with? Was that, no, or it couldn't be.
No, so they were the ones that were coming in after Regina.
Okay, so maybe the more important question is who is the lucky couple behind door number one? Like,
yeah, I know, that's really curious,
you know,
because
that's an important question.
Yeah, I don't. There's so many questions about that adoption process that are fascinating at this point in time. Like, how did they know to go and try to adopt him? How did they know he was there?
Right.
Which also makes me wonder. Maybe they knew he was there the same way Gold kind of knew, and it was that, like, something. The fact that he is of blood from the magical realm. Now, granted, the Darlings aren't magical at all, but maybe Pan could sense his presence and knew that, you know, Henry existed and was like, had a general idea of where he was and sent them after him. Like, I was kind of wondering if maybe that was Gold's thing too, is that he was drawn to Henry because he could almost feel that he was from their world, like he was of their world.
Right. Or like, my other question sort of at this point too is the point at which the Darling brothers... sounds like a singing group. At the point at which the Darling brothers, like, figured out where he was. I mean, how the freaking hard is it to kidnap a baby? I mean, seriously, if you really want to kidnap the baby, if you're Peter Pan's minions, once you knew where the kid was, like, couldn't you have... I'm just sort of questioning at what point they knew where he was. Could they not have swooped in and got him? I don't know.
Yeah, again, it's just weird. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to do with that backstory. It's confusing.
Yeah. I mean, club the nurse over the head a couple times, steal the baby and run. I mean, I don't know. It just...
It's not... Yeah. Well, I mean, they were going to Neverland. It's not like they were sticking around to get caught.
Right. Right. Exactly. It's not like they're changing their IDs and, like, heading down to South America or something. Exactly.
Yeah. I do have to say, though, Lana Perea was adorable with that baby. Like, that was the only thing that kept me interested in that, is I was like, she is, like, the most adorable person talking to this little baby.
Yeah, I'll give her that. Her. She did a really good job.
I actually loved Regina this entire episode, even when she was kind of, like, a little scary and maybe, you know, stepping over the line a little bit. You could just tell, like, she has everything invested in Henry, and I think... It was just really great to see them point that out and to kind of show us that, yeah, you know, she's not, you know, 100% a good person, but she's willing to do all of this for Henry. And that's definitely saying something.
Yeah, it was. It just goes to show how much he means to her. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that just solidified that he really isn't a pawn, that he really is the only one that loves her. And that's why he's so important to her. But I don't know. So moving on to Neverland, where the action, if you want to call it that, really happens. We open up with kind of Regina and Emma fighting over Henry again. But for once, Emma kind of gives Regina the leeway to take charge of the situation. They need to kind of con the Lost Boys into telling them where Pan's gone off to. Because once he took Henry's heart, he took off. And Felix is adamant that he will never tell, that the other boys shouldn't tell. And so you really get to see Felix's loyalty to Pan. And you kind of get the feeling that Felix has been there the longest with him. And that's why he's so loyal, because he doesn't know anything of his past. So for him, this is his life. Pan is his life. So it was kind of an interesting moment for Felix. But then you see Emma kind of talk to the younger Lost Boys and convince them that they need to know, and they'll take them away from Pan and they'll save him them from Pan, which I thought was an interesting tack to take. So Emma's basically now the mother of a whole bunch of Lost Boys
Oh, and
as they
Mary
make their
Margaret
way
too.
back to
Like Mary,
Storybrooke.
it was just like this is exactly what Mary Margaret wanted. She wanted more children. I mean, well, she got a whole boatload.
I was totally thinking as I was watching, I'm like, Mary Margaret now has an orphanage full of
It's
Lost
like
Boys.
Louisa May Alcott and Joe's Boys all of a sudden. I mean, we had Mr. Darcy last time. Why not do a riff on Joe's Boys and Louisa May Alcott while we're at it? But yeah.
So we see the Lost Boys, they kind of give up where Pan is. So they all go out there to locate Pan and to kind of get him so they can get the heart back. Well, they break up, and the three mothers, which was an interesting choice, the three mothers go to find him, and Pan plays a trick on them and traps them in by the tree, which holds his biggest regret. So the tree responds to regret, and so it wraps up the ladies. Now, does this mean that Pan has no regrets? Because he wasn't captured by the tree.
That's a good point.
He also said that it would protect him, which kind of confused me.
You know what though? Like to me, he's like the perfect sociopath. Like as really as evil and horrible things as Rumple and Regina did, even at the height of whatever they were doing, they still like had I think some level of feelings for what other people did or said. I mean, maybe they buried those feelings, or but there was some part of humanity left within them. Whereas I feel like Peter Pan and or in the guise of Rumple's father is just an absolute true sociopath. He doesn't have any feeling or empathy for anybody. It's all about him and very egocentric. So I think when everything is all about you don't have regret. You just have what you want next, which isn't per se regret. Maybe it's like envy, but it's not regret that you don't have it. It's envy that you don't have it.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just, again, it was an odd kind of mixture of things going on there. And the fact that Mary Margaret and Emma were so staunchly held by regret. And Regina, like we talked about the moment Regina breaks free of the regret because she has none. And I do have a hard time swallowing that Regina has absolutely no regrets. Maybe it's because she so willingly owned them. I don't know. What do you
Yeah,
guys
there's
think?
still you still feel like there's yeah, there's things that she wishes she could have chose differently or yeah, no, definitely. Definitely I feel like there's regret there.
The only thing I could think of was that in that moment, she had no regrets. Like maybe over time and over the last couple, the last couple of months or whatever, she's regretted things that she's done. But in that moment, she regretted nothing because it got her Henry and it got her here and it's gonna save Henry. Like that's the only reason I could come up with that she would have no regrets at this point.
I mean, yeah, it makes sense, but again, it just doesn't, like, from everything that we've already learned, it feels like we're, do you know what I mean? It feels like they're almost going back on some of the things that they've already shared as story. So it's just a little weird.
It's a little bit of a plot device.
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah, like I kind of got that same thing. I mean, I was trying to explain it away to myself in my head, but yeah,
Yeah.
it definitely didn't sit quite right.
Yeah. So Regina frees herself. She takes back the heart, and they leave Pan. And they leave Pan, what they think they leave him for dead. Unfortunately, they don't die that easily. So Regina puts the heart back into Henry. He reawakens, and all seems right with the world. They get on the Jolly Roger, and they use Pan's shadow to make the ship fly. Now, or the shadow, because we know he's not Pan. One of the things we see too is that Pan tells the ladies that he is Rumple's father. And so they're all a little surprised by that. But I feel like they dropped the ball with that a little bit. because we get minimal reaction there, but we don't get to see them tell the rest of the group that Pan was Rumple's father. It's kind of brought up in passing once Rumple's released from Pandora's box. Did you guys find that to be weird? Like, that's kind of a big moment, and you don't share it with the group so that everyone gets to see the reactions?
It did seem a little bit of a cheat that, you know, because that was such big news for all of us to find out that we assume that it's going to be big news for all of our favorites to find out. Like, you know, for Bay to find out that Pan is actually his grandfather, like, that's got to be, you know, some sort of a revelation or something. But it did seem dropped once they got on the ship.
Yeah, like, let's fill in the blanks for the kid, why don't we? Exactly.
Yeah, it just, I don't know. I felt like there should have been more to that because it was such a huge deal that it was kind of a throwaway off-screen moment for everybody else, which didn't make a whole lot of sense. So this whole episode was just weird to me. Like, I don't know. It felt like this whole episode was a throwaway in a sense. So Regina spells Henry's heart so that no one else can take it, which was, you know, kind of nice to her. You would have thought she may have done that earlier on, knowing that she had enemies, but no, maybe not. I don't know. Didn't it seem weird that she's only just now spelling her son's heart to not be taken?
Yeah, you'd think she would be trying to do, like, everything she can to keep him safe.
Yeah, or, like, for real, like, she wouldn't have, like, protected the back door better. I mean, just, really?
Yeah, I don't, this episode confuses me. So she does that. They all have their moments. It's all lovely. And isn't this grand? They, you know, they talk to Rumple. Bay and Rumple have this really sweet moment where everything's all better and he's calling him Papa again and everything's forgiven, which again, just a little bit weird.
Yeah. Like, I didn't like that. It didn't sit well with me. Like, I can see why he would be feeling much better towards Rumple, because it's true, Rumple, you know, didn't hurt Henry, everything was fine in the end, he was doing what he said he would do, that's good, but I don't want everything to be okay between them right now, because I feel like that's too easy. There's a lot of history there, and it can't be fixed in a single moment like that.
Yeah, and that was the thing. Like, again, it felt like a throwaway. Like, it felt like all of that anger and the buildup was just kind of tossed so that they could make it work. And I felt like we felt through, like, the rabbit hole on Once Upon a Time and ended up in this completely different dimension where everyone was just like, oh, I like you now. It's wonderful. It was so weird. Let's see, what else? Oh, so then we have the moment where Pan turns back up because, well, he's never really dead, now is he? And he tries to take Henry's heart and can't because Regina has spelled it. So then he tries to take Henry's shadow. And I'm not really sure what that's going to solve by taking Henry's shadow.
Anyway. Yeah, I couldn't figure that out either. I was not
Was it
sure.
Just if you can't have his heart, then you can have the boy. If I can't have his heart, you know, he can't live kind of thing? Like, what was that about?
Or maybe, like, he was going to hold the shadow ransom or something. Like, I'll give him his shadow back if you give me his heart. I don't know.
But either way, he dies.
Does he, though? Because people did live without their shadows.
No, the only person that lived without their shadow was Gold.
And is that just because he was the Dark One?
And he self-ripped it, too. Like, he removed... It wasn't... He willingly removed it. So I feel like that has something to do with the process, because it's out of your own free will versus someone else doing it to you.
Yeah, again, a weird kind of thing. So I'm not really sure why he felt taking the shadow would be effective. And in the end, Rumple comes in to take care of Peter Pan, but when he opens Pandora's box, Pan is still attached to Henry, and some weird glowy thing happens with their eyes, at which point I absolutely knew that Pan was not going down without a fight and that they had switched places. It was so evident in the eye glow action that something had happened. But the interesting thing is, Rumble made a comment about blood magic when he opened Pandora's box.
Right, which, did we, like, not hear about that before? Or how did we know it was blood magic? Or
we didn't know that it operated on blood magic. That's the thing. We talked about blood magic way early on when Neil found the... when he was with Robin Hood and they found the secret cabinet that had everything in it. That was because it was blood magic so that Neil could find it. But blood magic was never brought up again. So I don't know what the... Did I miss something? Was there talk about blood magic and Pandora's box and that's why it worked? Like, I don't recall that being brought up ever before.
Yeah, it's weird. It's very weird.
So, anyway, Pan and Henry switched places. So we can only assume that Henry is trapped in Pandora's box in Pan's form and that Pan is inside of Henry in his own form. And so Henry goes up, he has a moment with Bay and all is lovely. And then he goes over to talk to Felix and Felix is not having any of it until Pan says, well, Pan never fails or he never loses. And Felix realizes that he is Pan in Henry's body. And they kind of make a plan that it's time to play and they're going to have a little fun. So that's kind of where the episode ends. And again, it was just a really strange episode to me. Like, I felt like there were a lot of things left out that we didn't have a lot of information to, or that there was kind of like a lot of easy outs that we were unaware of. Like, things just happened and it didn't make a lot of sense, or things were just fixed that we had all this build up to them being wrong, and the fix was just really simple, which didn't make a lot of sense. So that's kind of where I'm at with the episode. I don't know how you guys feel about it, and, you know.
Yeah, I think the saving grace here was actually the switch between Henry and Pan, because can you imagine if, like, that was the end of Pan, like, he was dead, and, you know, they just went to Storybrooke, and they had to face whatever was coming next. It would have been even more anticlimactic than it was. So I think, in a way, it is kind of good that that happened, but, yeah, this was just... I don't know if this episode is just getting us between, like, two really good episodes, because I did really like last week's, and next week's looks interesting. They're back in Storybrooke, so it's going to be cool to see what happens there. And it looks like maybe some people are going to figure out that Henry isn't exactly who they think he is. And this just kind of acts like a bridge between those two episodes, which is unfortunate because it did seem like such a pivotal episode when we were looking at the promo last week.
You know what else I'm wondering too is, so what are they going to do with Felix? I mean, I feel like Felix is a huge mystery now. So they're all going to go back to Storybrooke, except for Felix, who is apparently the only person from Neverland who's still tied up. What are they going to do? Throw Felix in jail for what crime exactly? And the other problem I'm having, too, is that I want to know, what is Felix's attachment to Pan? Why wasn't he malleable? And at the same time, I thought we felt like a couple episodes ago that Felix kind of, you know, was having, like, if you looked at his eyes, you felt like he was having second thoughts of being Pan's minion. So why is he still so willing to be loyal to Pan at this point before he even knows that Pan is, you know, back? Like, I don't know. There's too many unanswered questions with Felix.
I really want to know more about his backstory too. I don't know why they didn't just leave him on Neverland. Like, if he didn't want to go, why didn't they just leave him there?
Right, that is really odd that they took him with them, knowing that he is kind of Pan's most loyal subject. Like, what do you do with someone like that? You're going to bring him back to Storybrooke to wreak havoc? Like, or were they going to bring him back and push him over the line? Like, I don't get it.
And if they push him over the line, is it even going to affect him? Because is he from the Enchanted Forest or is he from our world?
Nobody's like, that's, I don't know. Again, it's one of those really weird
right
places we're left. Like, this episode was just so weird to me. Like, it doesn't, it doesn't really answer questions, and the questions it does answer don't make a lot of sense. Like, I don't know. I just don't know. So hopefully next week we'll have better, I don't know, a better idea of where everything stands and how everything's working out. Like, I don't know.
I am excited to get back to Storybrooke because there's a lot of people there, and it's nice to, it'll be nice to get away from Neverland for a little while, even if it's temporary or permanent or, you know, we don't know, but it'll be nice to kind of get back and see everybody.
Yeah, plus we're going to get some new characters in Storybrooke now, like Tink, and I think that's going to be really cool.
I think it'll be great to see Tink and the Blue Fairy reunite, and I think it'll be interesting to see Wendy with her brothers, and what do they do now? Because now her brothers are older than she is. So, do you know what I mean? Like, the aging thing that's been going on for some of them is going to be really weird.
They can adopt her.
They'll go find Nana.
Yeah, exactly.
Nana.
So, I don't know. I just think it'll be really interesting to see how that all kind of plays out, and what the characters in Storybrooke think of the new people that they've brought with them, or if some of the children that are Lost Boys are actually related to some of the characters in Storybrooke. That would be interesting.
Yeah, wouldn't that be weird? Like, so someone in Storybrooke just like runs up to one of the Lost Boys and hugs him, like, "Oh, hi." Like, okay, all right, that's cool. Let's find out who that kid is. Like, I could see that being a really interesting thing, too.
Yeah, so hopefully next week will bring us some more interesting, fun episodes like we've had all season. I just felt like this one was kind of just odd and didn't live up to it. Maybe my expectations were too high, I don't know. So one can only hope that next week will be different. I mean, the preview did look good. There seems to be some interesting things going on with the group and the Pan/Henry. It looks like they were going to try to chuck him over the line to make him forget, which I think is a fascinating concept, because does it really even apply to Pan? So thank you guys for listening to Onceable. As always, please leave your comments, questions, thoughts in the comment section of the post. We'll be happy to discuss them with you, because this episode was really, as you guys heard us say, just odd for us. If you loved it, if you hated it, make sure you let us know. So thanks again for listening. I'm Jen.
I'm Laura.
I'm Karen.
And I'm Kristen.
Goodbye, guys.
Bye. Bye.